Well, good morning and bless his holy name. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for joining me. Welcome to Walk It Out. I'm Leah McCray, where we are transforming our bodies as we transform our minds with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Well, it is early for me. I don't know what time it is for you guys, what time you're joining me, but I'm just so grateful this morning. I woke up with a praise in my spirit and just a prayer on my lips. And God is good. You know, He is worthy of all of our praise, all of our affection, all of our love, all of our obedience. He's just worthy. He's just worthy today because He first loved us. Amen. He made it easy for us. Jesus did. You know, He took our sins. He took our sicknesses. He took everything on the cross so that we could die to self. That's the only dying we really have to do, is just dying to self. Hallelujah. So let's just open up in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank You. We thank You for this time together. We thank You, Lord God, for giving us a will and a desire to put this flesh under subjection, Lord God, to take care of the temple, the body that You gave us, and to become close to You, to make Your word of importance in our life, God, to give it first place, Lord, to take the time to study Your word, God. It's a privilege and it's an honor because Jesus is the Word. And we know that that it is in Your word where we get power, the power that's in Your word and in Your presence. And every time we study Your word, we draw closer to You. So I just thank You. I thank You, Lord God, for this time. I thank You for those who are connected on the podcast or on the cable television show. We just love You, Lord. We just give You praise today. Amen, in Jesus' name. So we're almost done with Genesis. Man, what powerful revelation God has been given us in the Word, right, to apply to our lives and just to be overcomers, to be victorious, to rest. I think our last message at the very end, He just gave us the word relax, you know, just relax. Relax in Him. And man, that blessed me. Woo! I've been chewing on that and living that. So anyway, we are at chapter 44 right now. So let's just get going. We're starting with verse 1. When his brothers were ready to leave, Joseph gave these instructions to his palace manager. Fill each of their sacks with as much grain as they can carry and put each man's money back into his sack. Then put my personal silver cup at the top of the youngest brother's sack, along with the money for his grain. So the manager did as Joseph instructed him. The brothers were up at dawn and were sent on their journey with their loaded donkeys. But when they had gone only a short distance and were barely out of the city, Joseph said to his palace manager, "Chase after them and stop them. When you catch up with them, ask them, 'Why have you repaid my kindness with such evil?'" Okay, now we talked about, we'll stop here for a moment, because we talked about the other day when we were in the other chapters, how Joseph, you know, he held on to this word and how he had been living with such integrity and God was with him. The favor of God is on him, and how he didn't let what happened to him, you know, the treachery and the deceit, what happened to him really changed him, you know. But then we saw how when he was raised up in the house of Pharaoh, how he blessed him and gave him, you know, power and authority. But when he had his children, how he named his children Manasseh and Ephraim, and how when he explained the name, we could see that he had still, you know, he had been suffering. He was in pain. He was still hurt, carrying that hurt, right? And that's understandable. That's understandable in the natural. Look at what he's gone through, you know. And when we talked about how God favors us and gives us the strength to persevere, when we hold on to the word of God, how it allows us to go through the seasons of hurt and pain. But we can see in his actions here that he's not quite over it, right? you know, he's playing some cruel games on his brothers. And we can understand the desire to, you know, to get them back in a way. You know, we all have that. But so we see even that playing out in Joseph's actions. I mean, no, he didn't have to do these things. He didn't have to scare them or and trick them or any of this. But he is doing it, and we know. I mean, we can surmise that part of it is because, you know, there's still some hurt there. Even though God has raised him up, you know, God has blessed him. He's showing Joseph that what they meant for evil, he turned around for good. But there's still our flesh, right? And we have to remember that. And we have to put our flesh, all like we prayed just a minute ago. You know, we have to put our flesh under subjection to the Spirit. But again, I love the honesty of God. I love how he just allows us to see, you know, how we are, but contrast that about how he is and what he can do in our lives. So anyway, okay, so let's get back. So he said, "Why have you repaid my kindness with such evil? Why have you stolen my master's silver cup, which he uses to predict the future? What a wicked thing you have done." When the palace manager caught up with the men, he spoke to them as he had been instructed. Okay, this is what Joseph told him to tell them. What are you talking about? The brothers responded. We are your servants and would never do such a thing. Didn't we return the money we found in our sacks? We brought it back all the way from the land of Canaan. Why would we steal silver or gold from your master's house? If you find this cup with any of us, let that man die, and all the rest of us, my lord, will be your slaves. That's fair, the man replied, but only the one who stole the cup will be my slave. The rest of you may go free. So they all quickly took their sacks from the backs of their donkeys and opened them. The palace manager searched the brothers' sacks from the oldest to the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sacks. When the brothers saw this, they tore their clothing in despair. Then they loaded their donkeys again and returned to the city. Okay, so as I'm reading this, I'm thinking too that, you know, possibly Joseph just wanted his brother Benjamin back to be close to him. But then he probably also thought that this was a way to get his father there. I mean, we really don't know what was going on in his mind, you know, but these things are just coming up as we're reading the word. So, verse 14. Oh, goodness, I'm going up a hill, guys. I'm sorry, this is kind of, it's working me this morning. I hope you're having a good workout. All right, so Joseph was still in his palace when Judah and his brothers arrived, and they fell to the ground before him. "What have you done?" Joseph demanded. "Don't you know that a man like me can predict the future?" Wow. Judah answered, "Oh, my Lord, what can we say to you? How can we explain this? How can we prove our innocence? God is punishing us for our sins." Come on now. Here we go. You know, they're still living under condemnation. They still know what they've done is still in their heart. The enemy is still playing this against them. And why? Because they really haven't repented and confessed. So until that's done, you know, there is an open door. And then also, we see their father. You know, we see what is going on with him as well. That his, we know what he's done in the past, right? And all of this stuff is coming for a full circle. So he says, "Oh, my Lord, what can we say?" He says, "God is punishing us for our sins. My Lord, we have all returned to be your slaves, all of us. Not just our brother who had your cup in his sack." "No," Joseph said, "I would never do such a thing. Only the man who stole the cup will be my slave. The rest of you may go back to your father in peace." Then Judah stepped forward and said, "Please, my Lord, let your servant say just one word to you. Please do not be angry with me, even though you are as powerful as Pharaoh himself." Here again, the prophecy, what they're doing, bowing before Joseph, recognizing that they that he is king to them, actually. So, my Lord, previously you asked us, your servants, do you have a father or a brother? And we responded, yes, my Lord. We have a father who is an old man, and his youngest son is a child of his old age. His full brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him very much. And you said to us, bring him here so I can see him with my own eyes. But we said to you, my Lord, the boy cannot leave his father, for his father would die. But you told us, unless your youngest brother comes with you, you will never see my face again. So we returned to your servant, our father, and told him what you had said. Later, when he said, go back again and buy us more food, we replied, we can't go unless you let our youngest brother go with us. We'll never get to see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us. Then my father said to us, as you know, my wife had two sons, and one of them went away and never returned. One of them went away and never returned. Wow, he didn't say he was dead. He said one of them went away and never returned. So I think we can see here that Jacob, Israel, was still holding out hope that he would one day see his son. He didn't pronounce him dead. You see that? You know, we shouldn't pronounce things dead. Just because we don't see something, just because it hasn't manifested yet, let's put a guard over our mouth. Let's not declare things dead that God has given us. Let's not declare the visions, the dreams, the gifts, whatever it is, the promises that God has given us, just because we don't see it, just because it seems to tarry, just because it seems like it may be lost to us, let's not pronounce it dead. You know, let's not put our mouth on it. Let's not put our decree upon that thing and call it dead. Let's not do that. Let's take a little lesson from here. So he says, oh, thank you, Jesus. Then my father said to us, as you know, my wife had two sons, and one of them went away and never returned. Doubtless he was torn to pieces by some wild animal. I have never seen him since. Now if you take his brother away from me, and any harm comes to him, you will send this grieving white-haired man to his grave. And now, my Lord, I cannot go back to my father without the boy. Our father's life is bound up in the boy's life. Wow. If he sees that the boy is not with us, our father will die. We, your servants, will indeed be responsible for sending that grieving white-haired man to his grave. My Lord, I guaranteed to my father that I would take care of the boy. I told him, if I don't bring him back to you, I will bear the blame forever. Okay, this is Judah. So please, my Lord, let me stay here as a slave instead of the boy, and let the boy return with his brothers. For how can I return to my father if the boy is not with me? I couldn't bear to see the anguish this would cause my father. So here we have Judah, willing to sacrifice himself for Benjamin, to get Benjamin back to his father, because he loves his father. And he knows what they did, right? And so, you know, here's the repentance. Here's a repentant heart, you know. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's go on to Genesis 45, because we still have, 15 more minutes. Okay, Genesis 45, verse 1. Joseph could stand it no longer. There were many people in the room, and he said to his attendants, out, all of you. So he was alone with his brothers when he told them who he was. Then he broke down and wept. He wept so loudly the Egyptians could hear him, and word of it quickly carried to Pharaoh's palace. I am Joseph, he said to his brothers. Is my father still alive? But the brothers were speechless. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. Please come closer, he said to them. So they came close. They couldn't believe their eyes. So they came closer, and he said again, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. But don't be upset, and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. My. Wow. Look at the revelation of the providence of God. My goodness. Joseph, he can look at his brothers with love and with understanding. I mean, just a little bit ago, he was playing mind games on them. You know, he was getting back at them in small ways. But that was the flesh. His heart has always been with God. God knows our heart. That's why God can continue to bless him through all of the of what he was going through, that the favor was upon his life, because he had a heart of humility, a heart after God. He recognized God in everything. So although his brothers, you know, were treacherous, were jealous, did not have a heart of love for him when they did those things, but yet God used every bit of it. So he says, it was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives, to preserve their lives. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years, and there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you, and he is the one who made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace, and the governor of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and tell him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me master over all the land of Egypt. So come down to me immediately. You can live in the region of Goshen, the blessed place, where you can be near me with all your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and everything you own. I will take care of you there, for there are still 5 years of famine ahead of us. Otherwise, you, your household, and all your animals will starve. Then Joseph added, look, you can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that I really am Joseph. Go tell my father of my honored position here in Egypt. Describe to him everything you have seen, and then bring my father here quickly. Weeping with joy, he embraced Benjamin, and Benjamin did the same. Then Joseph kissed each of his brothers and wept over them. And after that, they began talking freely with him. The news soon reached Pharaoh's palace. Joseph's brothers have arrived. Pharaoh and his officials were all delighted to hear this. Pharaoh said to Joseph, tell your brothers, this is what you must do. Load your pack animals and hurry back to the land of Canaan. Then get your father and all of your families and return here to me. I will give you the very best land in Egypt, and you will eat from the best that the land produces. Now here is Pharaoh wanting to bless the family of Joseph, right? Here is a carnal man, not a believer, but he, or not living as one, you know, he knows that there is a God. He knows that God has blessed Joseph, and that through Joseph, the God has blessed him, right? But he desires to bless this family, you know? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, tell your brothers, take wagons from the land of Egypt to carry your little children or your wives and bring your father here. Don't worry about your personal belongings, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. The wagons are coming. Ooh, that's been my confession now for all month. The wagons are coming. The wagons are here. So the sons of Jacob did as they were told. Joseph provided them with wagons, as Pharaoh had commanded, and he gave them supplies for the journey, and he gave each of them new clothes. But to Benjamin, he gave 5 changes of clothes and 300 pieces of silver. He also sent his father 10 male donkeys loaded with the finest products of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other supplies he would need on his journey. So Joseph sent his brothers off, and as they left, he called after them, don't quarrel about all this along the way.
And they left Egypt and returned to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. Joseph is still alive, they told him, and he is governor of all the land of Egypt. Jacob was stunned at the news. He couldn't believe it. But when they repeated to Jacob everything Joseph had told them, and when he saw the wagons, hallelujah, Joseph had sent to carry him, their father's spirit revived. Then Jacob explained, "It must be true. My son Joseph is alive. I must go and see him before I die." Hallelujah, Mary God. Lord, have a blessing on the reading of his word this morning. Oh my goodness, the son is alive. Hallelujah. The blesser. Oh my goodness. Let's just think of Jesus. Let's just meditate on Jesus in this moment. Man, who they tried to kill, who the enemy tried to kill, who they thought was dead when they put him in the grave. He's alive. He's alive. And he sent his wagons. Hallelujah. He sent his provision. Hallelujah. He has provided everything that we need for life and godliness. I'm telling you, the wagons are here. The wagons are here. Overflow is here because the sun has risen. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for your word today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us a prophetic word today. Thank you. Thank you for reviving us. Oh, our spirit has come alive because Christ is risen. Hallelujah. He's not dead. Hallelujah. He got off that cross. He is alive today, sitting at the right hand of God, of Jehovah, of Yahweh, sitting at his right hand, ever making intercession for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We just bless you today. Thank you for this time in your word. We praise you. We honor you. We love you. In the mighty, mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Oh, have a great day and be blessed.